In a world where mental health awareness has grown exponentially, few conditions remain as misunderstood and stigmatized as borderline personality disorder. When I Hate You, Don't Leave Me first appeared in 1989, it broke new ground by making this complex disorder accessible to the general public while remaining clinically relevant. The book's enduring popularity speaks to its importance. Marcia Linehan, creator of dialectical behavior therapy and herself a recovered borderline, has called it the book that started it all. This groundbreaking work has helped countless individuals recognize their own struggles or those of loved ones, offering a framework for understanding seemingly incomprehensible behaviors. With its vivid case studies and compassionate approach, Kreisman and Strauss's work continues to illuminate the borderline experience, a life lived at emotional extremes where the desperate fear of abandonment coexists with an equally powerful fear of intimacy, creating the painful paradox reflected in the book's title. Imagine lacking the emotional equivalent of blood clotting factors, where the slightest psychological wound causes you to bleed out emotionally. This is the reality for those with borderline personality disorder, BPD, a condition affecting approximately 2% of the general population, but accounting for up to 20% of psychiatric hospitalizations. These individuals experience life as a relentless roller coaster, with explosive mood changes and virtually no sustained periods of contentment. You've likely encountered borderlines in your daily life. Perhaps Carol, who abruptly ends friendships over perceived slights, then acts as if nothing happened. Bob, the boss who alternates between lavish praise and harsh criticism. Arlene, who drastically changes her appearance and relationship commitments weekly. Or Brett, who can't reconcile his collapsing marriage, swinging between denial and self-blame. What defines these individuals is inconsistency. They are emotional chameleons, adapting to environments and companions with remarkable fluidity. The diagnostic criteria for BPD require 5 of 9 symptoms. Frantic efforts to avoid abandonment, unstable relationships, identity confusion, impulsivity, suicidal behaviors, mood instability, chronic emptiness, inappropriate anger, and stress-related paranoia. These interconnected symptoms create a perfect storm of emotional dysregulation that affects every aspect of life. At the core of borderline experience is splitting, the rigid separation of positive and negative thoughts about self and others. While most people can experience ambivalence, borderline shift between contradictory emotional states, entirely unaware of one state while immersed in another. Their world is populated by heroes and villains with no middle ground. Unable to reconcile good and bad qualities in others, they see people as either all good or all evil, with perceptions shifting dramatically between extremes. This black and white thinking extends to relationships, where borderlines desperately seek connections because solitude is intolerable, yet simultaneously fear intimacy. Too much closeness threatens suffocation, while distance triggers abandonment fears. Like emotional explorers with sketchy maps, they cannot gauge optimal distance from others, caroming between clinging dependency and angry manipulation. The consequences are severe. BPD is linked to eating disorders, substance abuse, and alarming suicide rates, with 70% attempting suicide and 8 to 10% completing it. The condition affects both genders nearly equally, though women seek treatment more frequently and experience greater symptom severity. While once considered untreatable, research now shows that 86% of borderline patients achieve sustained symptom relief over a decade, with almost half improving within the first 2 years. The Anderson family saga illustrates how borderline traits transcend generations. Margaret's father was distant and uninvolved, just as her husband Roger would be with their daughter Dixie. Margaret's mother clung to her, just as Margaret would cling to Dixie. By 16, Margaret was obese and using amphetamines, creating a cycle of substance abuse and control issues that continued with Dixie. By age 4, Dixie's daughter Kim had taken control of the household amid the chaos of her mother's and grandmother's hospitalizations, showing the same premature maturity visible in childhood photos of her mother and grandmother. This hereditary pattern raises questions about how borderline traits develop and pass through families. Evidence suggests BPD stems from a complex interaction of genetic, developmental, neurobiological, and social factors rather than any single cause. Family studies show first-degree relatives of borderlines are several times more likely to develop personality disorders, especially BPD, as well as mood, impulse, and substance abuse disorders. Multiple genes likely contribute to BPD, affecting neurotransmitters like serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine that influence impulsivity and mood regulation. Brain imaging reveals borderlines have hyperactivity in limbic areas associated with emotionality and decreased activity in the prefrontal cortex, controlling rational thought. Yet biology isn't destiny. Developmental theories focus on early child caregiver interactions, particularly during the critical period between 18 and 30 months when children struggle for autonomy. Parents who either resist the child's separation with suffocating control or provide erratic, emotionally underinvolved parenting can prevent the development of a stable sense of self, leading to intense attachment needs and abandonment fears. Margaret Mahler's developmental model identifies key phases. The first 1 to 2 months, autistic phase, when infants are oblivious to everything but themselves. Months 2 to 6, symbiotic phase, when they recognize others as extensions of themselves. And the crucial separation individuation period, ages 2 to 3, when children establish a separate sense of self. During this period, the child faces conflicts between autonomy and dependency, and between fears of engulfment and abandonment. The child initially perceives others through splitting, seeing them as either all good or all bad, which eventually gives way to healthier integration in normal development. Major traumas during early development significantly increase the likelihood of BPD. Case histories of borderlines typically reveal broken homes, abuse, and emotional deprivation. While not all traumatized children become borderline adults, and not all borderlines have trauma histories, substantial evidence links various forms of abuse and neglect to BPD. As Norman Mailer observed about Marilyn Monroe, her missing father contributed to her emotional instability and acting career, as she searched desperately for identity. The nature-nurture question applies significantly to BPD. While no specific BPD gene exists, individuals may inherit chromosomal vulnerabilities expressed as illness depending on various factors. Mitigating elements like supportive relationships, education, and personal abilities influence ultimate emotional health. Psychological theories reflect their cultural context. Freud's sexual repression theories emerged from Victorian society, while today's more open yet confused social structures create different psychological challenges. Social factors interact with BPD in several ways. Changing family structures affect child development. Society's lack of structure exacerbates borderline's difficulties with self-organization. And personality disorders may represent natural responses to contemporary culture. Post-World War II society has become increasingly fragmented, with traditional family structures replaced by diverse patterns amid rising divorce rates, substance abuse, and economic uncertainty. Society fails to achieve social rapprochement. Just as infants need to venture from and return to maternal security, people need stable social anchors. The need for dual incomes forces parents to relinquish childcare duties, while job mobility uproots families from stabilizing networks. Our society's devaluation of the past has broken our sense of historical continuity, leaving us disconnected from both our predecessors and posterity. Time becomes perceived as isolated points rather than a continuous string influenced by past, present, and future. The constant threat of catastrophe, nuclear war, terrorism, environmental destruction, contributes to widespread hopelessness, especially among youth. The borderline personifies this now orientation, living without comforting memories to sustain them through difficult times, doomed to repeat mistakes. The landscape of interpersonal relationships has transformed dramatically. From the sexual repression of the 1950s through the sexual revolution to today's digital dating world where relationships begin with keystrokes. Personal relationships have taken on the character of combat, a battlefield where borderlines paradoxically thrive. Their masochistic tendencies fit well with narcissistic partners, creating dysfunctional dynamics where pain becomes equated with love. Modern society has fractured once integrated social roles, forcing individuals to juggle multiple, often conflicting identities. Women face particularly bewildering role expectations, from career woman to traditional mother to supermom, which may explain their higher rates of BPD diagnosis. The price of increased social options for women has been agonizing life decisions, strained relationships, and profound identity confusion, all central components of borderline personality disorder. With fragmenting society and dissolving families, faux families or virtual communities have emerged to replace real communities. People seek tribal affiliation through sports fandom, Raider Nation, television voting, American Idol, or social networks, Facebook, Twitter. This reflects growing American narcissism, documented since the 1970s, manifesting through reality TV, plastic surgery, celebrity worship, and social networking's look-at-me mentality. The borderline shifts personality like a kaleidoscope, transforming into whatever shape might please the viewer. Their explosions of anger, mood swings, suspiciousness, and unpredictable outbursts frustrate everyone around them. Effective communication requires understanding the setup system, a structured method for family, friends, and therapists to use during borderline crises. SET stands for Support, Empathy, and Truth, a three-part communication system for confrontations with borderlines. Support involves personal I statements of concern. I am sincerely worried about how you are feeling. Empathy acknowledges the borderline's feelings with you statements, how awful you must be feeling, avoiding sympathetic condescension. Truth emphasizes the borderline's ultimate accountability. What are you going to do about it? Communication should include all three elements, as predictable problems arise when any part is missing or not heard. When support is bypassed, the borderline accuses others of not caring. Without empathy, they feel misunderstood. Most dangerously, when truth is missing, the borderline develops unrealistic expectations that eventually collapse in anger and disappointment. Setup principles can diffuse unstable situations involving borderlines, who often create no-win scenarios through contradictory messages. In the case of Gloria threatening suicide while forbidding her husband Alex from seeking help, she creates a double bind. If he ignores her, he's uncaring. If he argues against suicide, he doesn't understand. If he calls authorities, he's untrustworthy. Using SET principles, Alex should express support, I love you and want to help, empathy, the pressure must be unbearable, and truth, your alerting me shows part of you wants help and I must respond to that part. Borderlines often spiral downward by feeling bad about feeling bad. Their perfectionism and black-and-white thinking leads them to attempt to eliminate unpleasant emotions rather than cope with them. When unsuccessful, they layer guilt and frustration atop the original feelings, creating a bottomless descent. The solution lies in set-up communication that helps the borderline accept negative emotions as real and appropriate without self-condemnation. For borderlines living in a world of inconsistencies, idle threats about unenforced consequences are worse than allowing inappropriate behaviors to continue. Intentions must be backed by clear, predictable actions. Parents or therapists who don't follow through on stated boundaries invite increased testing. Beyond SET principles, understanding and perseverance are essential. Having a consistent, unflappable figure who provides a model of constancy may be one of the most important requirements for healing. BPD is an illness, not a willful attempt to get attention. the borderline lacks the metaphorical bootstraps to pull himself up, making anger or pleading useless. However, this doesn't mean borderline shouldn't be held responsible for their conduct. Like someone in a wheelchair, they deserve sympathy, but must still accept the consequences of their actions and find ways to navigate their challenges. Borderline rage erupts without warning and appears disproportionate to the situation. The best approach is to remain calm as the borderline escalates. The quieter and more composed you become, the more it highlights the unreasonable intensity of their anger. Leave immediately if physical violence seems possible. Don't attempt to reason with borderline rage. Instead, acknowledge differences and agree to disagree, saving further discussion for calmer moments. Rapid mood shifts confound both borderlines and those around them. Meredith could swing from joy to despair without warning, leaving her husband Ben in a damned if you do, damned if you don't dilemma. Confronting her depression triggered withdrawal, but ignoring it seemed uncaring. Using setup principles helped by involving Meredith in determining appropriate responses to her moods. For Meredith, recognizing her mood shifts, taking responsibility for them, and developing compensatory strategies became crucial. When involved with a borderline, you'll experience powerful emotions, especially guilt, fear, and anger. Borderlines often project responsibility for their self-destructive behaviors onto others who readily accept it. Guilt inhibits honest confrontation, fear of harm prevents interaction, and anger emerges from feeling manipulated. Only by extracting yourself from this pattern can you break the cycle and force the borderline toward healthier self-sufficiency. Parents should recognize that adolescence and BPD share striking similarities. Struggles for individuality and separation from parents, seeking peer bonds and group identification, avoiding solitude, dramatic mood changes, and impulsivity. However, while normal teens may listen to gloomy music, write pessimistic poetry, and dramatically threaten, they don't cut wrists, binge and purge repeatedly, become addicted to drugs, or attack parents. All threats of self-harm must be taken seriously, as even attention-seeking attempts can go tragically wrong. In workplace settings, borderlines can be exceptionally creative, dedicated employees who function best in well-defined environments with clear expectations. Coworkers should recognize the borderline's black or white thinking, avoid teasing or mockery, offer frequent compliments for good work, and provide matter-of-fact feedback about mistakes. With age, many borderlines mellow out as impulsivity, mood swings, and self-destructive behaviors diminish in intensity. This improvement may reflect actual change, observers becoming desensitized to erratic behavior, the borderline settling into more routine lifestyles, or simply diminished energy for maintaining borderline intensity. Most borderlines improve over time, with or without treatment, eventually no longer meeting the diagnostic criteria. Long-term prognosis is hopeful, as borderlines gradually learn healthier ways to love and be loved. Treating borderline personality places immense strain on therapists' professional abilities and patients. Sessions are often stormy and unpredictable, with progress painfully slow and many patients dropping out within months. The difficulty stems from borderlines approaching therapy like other relationships, viewing the therapist as alternately caring or deceitful. They can be extremely demanding, calling constantly between sessions, appearing unexpectedly with threats of self-harm, and skillfully provoking therapists into frustration and self-doubt. The American Psychiatric Association identifies psychotherapy as primary, complemented by targeted medications. While strict behavior modification and classical psychoanalysis are typically avoided, most approaches share the goal of helping patients function more effectively in a less threatening world. The therapeutic relationship forms the foundation for developing trust, object constancy, and emotional intimacy. Through this relationship, the borderline learns to extend appropriate expectations and trust to others. Most therapeutic approaches derive from two orientations: psychodynamic therapy, examining past and present patterns to forge a better future, and cognitive behavioral therapy, changing current thinking and behaviors without dwelling on the past. Regardless of approach, effective therapy requires structure and clear goals while maintaining flexibility. Borderline personality disorder is unique among major psychiatric illnesses in having more evidence supporting psychosocial therapies than pharmacological treatments. Two primary therapeutic schools have emerged: cognitive behavioral and psychodynamic approaches, each with distinct strategies. Cognitive behavioral approaches focus on changing current disruptive thinking processes and behaviors rather than exploring the past. Dialectical behavioral therapy, DBT, developed by Marsha Linehan, has the most evidence supporting its effectiveness. The dialectic refers to resolving the borderline's contradictory states, loving then hating the same person, or trying hard while needing to do better. DBT views BPD as resulting from biological vulnerability to emotional overreactivity combined with an invalidating environment. Schema focus therapy, SFT, combines cognitive, gestalt, and psychodynamic theories to address maladaptive schemas, worldviews developed by vulnerable children facing unstable parenting. Treatment identifies five schema modes in borderlines: abandoned child, angry child, punitive parent, detached protector, and healthy adult. Therapists employ reparenting to supply unmet childhood needs using warmth and openness while teaching new coping mechanisms. Psychodynamic approaches include mentalization-based therapy, MBT, which focuses on mentalization, how people understand themselves, others, and their environment. Phonogy theorizes that disruption in early childhood mentalization development leads to BPD. When children cannot bond appropriately with parents, they struggle to understand emotions and develop abandonment fears or detachment. Transference-focused psychotherapy focuses on identity diffusion, distorted self-perception, and splitting, black and white thinking, as core BPD features. The therapy involves twice-weekly sessions examining the patient-therapist relationship as a laboratory for understanding splitting patterns. By experiencing and analyzing these dynamics in a safe environment, patients can develop healthier identity integration and more nuanced perceptions of others. All these standardized treatments have demonstrated superiority over non-specific treatment as usual. Comparative studies show different approaches excel in different areas. DBT and TFP reduce suicidal thinking. TFP and supportive therapy better reduce anger and impulsivity. TFP performs best for irritability and assault behaviors. However, the key finding isn't which treatment works best, but that psychotherapy itself works for BPD. While psychotherapy remains the primary BPD treatment, most plans include medications. No single medication treats all aspects of BPD, but medications help manage associated symptoms like depression and reduce problematic traits like impulsivity. New discoveries in genetics and neurobiology are improving understanding of medication effectiveness. Twin studies show that when one identical twin has BPD, the other has a 35 to 70% chance of also developing it, even when raised in different environments. Specific borderline traits like anxiety, emotional instability, suicidality, impulsivity, and relationship problems show high heritability. Molecular genetics has identified specific gene alterations affecting neurotransmitters, serotonin, norepinephrine, dopamine, associated with mood disorders, impulse dysregulation, dissociation, and pain sensitivity. Advanced brain imaging techniques like fMRI, CT, PET, and SPECT have revealed anatomical and physiological deviations in BPD, showing overactivity in emotional response areas, limbic system, and underactivity in executive thinking regions, prefrontal cortex. Chronic stress disrupts neuroendocrine balance by activating the hypothalamic-pituitary-adrenal axis, which, when constantly triggered, causes brain shrinkage patterns observed in BPD, PTSD, and major depression. Discoveries in genetics and brain physiology have led to new drugs for many conditions. While no medication targets BPD specifically, research shows three primary classes of medicines effectively treat many borderline behaviors. 1. Antidepressants. most research has examined serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, including Prozac, Zoloft, and Lexapro. These effectively treat mood instability, emptiness, rejection sensitivity, and anxiety. They also decrease inappropriate anger, aggression, and self-mutilation, even without depressive symptoms. 2. Mood stabilizers. This group includes lithium and anti-seizure drugs like Depakote and Lamictal. These medications help stabilize mood, decrease anxiety, and control impulsivity, aggression, and anger at typical doses. 3. Neuroleptics. These drugs are recommended for initial treatment of cognitive perceptual distortions in borderline patients. They target paranoia, dissociation, and feelings of unreality. Combined with SSRIs, they relieve anger and aggressiveness, stabilize mood, and decrease anxiety and interpersonal sensitivity. Professional opinion about BPD prognosis has shifted dramatically. In the 1980s, personality disorders were considered enduring and stable, with suicide rates approaching 10%. Recent longer-term studies show significant improvement over time, with up to two-thirds of patients no longer meeting BPD criteria after 10 years. Improvement occurs with or without treatment, though treated patients achieve remission sooner. While acute symptoms like self-harm and impulsivity respond more quickly to treatment, temperamental symptoms like fear of abandonment and emptiness often persist longer. Change for borderlines is exceptionally difficult because it disrupts established psychological equilibrium. Borderlines particularly fear change because they distrust their psychological breaks, believing they'll slide uncontrollably from one extreme to another without the ability to stop in the middle ground. Successful change requires consciously resisting unproductive automatic reflexes and gradually choosing alternative responses. Personality can be visualized as intersecting lines representing character traits, with extremes at each end and middle ground at the center. The ideal is to have these traits balanced like spokes in a wheel, intersecting near their midpoints. Change becomes a process of identifying where one falls on each trait line and deliberately moving toward the adaptive middle ground, not because any position is inherently better, but because balance is most adaptive. The borderline's healing journey begins with learning to limp, putting just enough weight on their psychological injuries to build strength gradually without causing re-injury. They must break out of an impossible catch-22. To accept themselves and others, they must learn to trust, but trusting others means first trusting their own perceptions. Borderlines experience the world through a child's intense emotions and perspective, unable to separate from their family of origin or see their world through adult eyes. Change comes when they learn to review past memories through adult lenses, like watching a once frightening horror film years later and wondering why it seems so scary. The borderline's greatest obstacle is evaluating in absolute extremes, either total perfection or complete failure. Rather than playing the hand they're dealt, they keep folding, waiting for four aces. Improvement comes when they learn to accept their circumstances and play skillfully despite imperfections. As they mature, choices become less frightening and more empowering. A primary goal for borderlines is establishing a separate identity and overcoming the tendency to merge with others, evolving from parasitic dependence to symbiosis and eventually independence. The borderline's demanding dependence can destroy relationships, but learning collaborative connections benefits everyone. As borderlines develop a distinct identity, they learn to appreciate others as independent persons with their own flaws and struggles. They must integrate positive and negative aspects of others rather than splitting them into all good or all bad. The healing borderline develops constancy about themselves and others, learning to be dependent in comfortable rather than desperate ways. When borderlines change, others in their relationships must adjust to maintain equilibrium. If these readjustments don't occur, relationships may shatter. Those who overcome the illness develop greater capacity to trust and establish satisfactory relationships with clearer purpose and more stable self-understanding. Like mountain climbing, the fullest experience comes from appreciating all perspectives, looking up toward goals, looking down to recognize progress, and pausing to appreciate the present moment.